What's the one thing holding back even when the most accomplished leaders are present? According to today's guest, it's something she calls deep fear. I like it. Might be a title of a book one day. Anxious thoughts that secretly limit us. On this episode, I sit down with the renowned executive coach, Susan Biro, who has spent over two decades helping CEOs and C-suite executives confront their hidden anxieties. We'll explore her signature inner life leadership approach and how and what happens inside, always shaping what's happening outside. Suzanne will share how to transform these fears into powerful catalysts for authentic leadership and a whole life success. If you're ready to confront your silent saboteurs, this episode's for you. Let's go. Welcome to the show.
Edna, thank you for having me.
Oh, I am so glad you're here. Well, I want you to know you're my second executive coach that I've met on my show in the last 4 years. So I'm so excited. And you work with C-suite executives. Where a lot of the work needs to be done there.
Well, you know, they're people too.
Yes.
People with big titles and big responsibilities.
Yes, yes, yes. So you call it deep fear. What is it? And how does it secretly limit even when we're accomplished?
Well, great question. My podcast I named Deep Fear simply because I thought I should talk about something I know something about. That's fear. I mean, I feel like I have been afraid of just about everything I've ever done.
Gotcha.
You know, I started out as a coach when I was in my 20s, and I was often working with people in their 40s and 50s.
Gotcha.
And largely men, because men held more of the senior level roles and still do. Largely. And so, and so I was always terrified of every single client when they would call. You know, I held almost all my work on the phone for years. Then I would fly to see them and I'd be deathly afraid, or I would lead an executive offsite with a room filled with like 30 executive, you know, of a company. And I would just feel sick to my stomach as I would walk into the room and think, how can I run out of here? I mean, I'm so afraid. And so I feel like we all have, I mean, being a human being is terrifying. I mean, we know from a very early age, we're going to die and everyone around us is going to die. We know we're going to get sick, or those we love will get sick. We know how easy it is to lose, everything you built up. You know, we're all living a house of cards and we know it. And you take out one card, health, someone we love, and everything kind of crumbles. So it's a very vulnerable experience, this thing of being a human being.
Yeah.
And so I think we're all afraid of so many things, you know, even from, is this person going to like me? To can I really be myself in this situation? To what extent can I be myself?
Yeah.
And so we learn to put on all these masks because we're afraid. And I think at some point we start to unravel that is, I don't want to do that. It's exhausting for one.
Right.
And it limits us in all kinds of ways. And we feel it and we sense it. And so we start to, you know, tiptoe out of it. If we become aware of how do I not let fear run my life?
Right.
So that's a long answer to your question.
Yeah. It's good though. So it's deep. It's good. It's deep. No pun intended.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this is good. This is really good. So what's the biggest myth leaders believe about fear and anxiety?
I don't know if it's a myth, but I feel like we don't often realize how much of fear runs in the background of our lives and how much it informs what we allow ourselves to say and do.
Right.
And I think the essence of leadership is that we allow ourselves to be ourselves. And we allow ourselves to say what occurs to us. So in a business setting, if we're around a boardroom table with, you know, very successful, smart people, we often will withhold our real thoughts and feelings.
Right.
Like, okay. Who am I to say this now? Everyone else seems ready to move forward with this big investment. Mm-hmm. I have concerns. Everyone doesn't. We look for social proof and we don't really hear ourselves as well as we could or as well as would serve the business.
Right.
And so I think it's very subtle. It's very unconscious. But if I do anything as an executive coach in anything well, it is to help people hear themselves, their own mm-hmm. thoughts and feelings and instincts. Mm-hmm. And to come to validate that as very useful information and then to act on it.
Right.
More than they allow themselves to do.
Okay.
And I think in many ways that's called freedom.
Okay. How do you change that narrative for them or help them change that narrative?
Yeah, I think it's bringing awareness first and foremost to what is happening inside. So a client might come with, you know, I want to be, a more effective leader. I say, what does that mean for you? Mm-hmm. I need to speak up more. Right. There's times where I'm aware of something, but I either don't catch it in time mm-hmm. or, I need to bring it to the table more right. because, you know, and we'll have the experience of, I just don't speak up enough or, I'm not having the real conversations I need to have with the people I need to have them with.
Right.
And so then we will unpack that conversation. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Right. A lot of us can't really identify our feelings. I'll use like a feelings wheel. What are you feeling? Not just mad, sad, glad, right. but are you enraged or are you a little ticked off?
Right. Right.
Are you curious and interested or are you passionate and driven? Like which, how are you feeling so that we know ourselves? And then part of what I teach is a 5-question framework of how do we have real conversations? And it requires us to be aware. One, what am I thinking and feeling? What do I want to say and do? Mm-hmm. Why might I hold back from saying and doing those things? Like what fears or concerns do I have?
Right.
What would be in my intention in having that conversation? Like why would I risk the uncomfortableness of sharing it? And what important impact could that have on the relationship and or the business?
Yeah,
so if I write down my answers to that, that almost is verbatim the conversation.
Wow. So, I see how that could be a problem because I know in most workplaces, even in the smallest of organizations, there's the sense of power means not to feel. Power means to have control of all those things, and then you really don't, especially real life situations,
Yeah. I think I read a quote once and it said, we seek to the extent that we can't control ourselves, we will seek to control others.
Ooh.
We have the ability to control ourselves, which I think is why self-awareness matters. Like what's happening within me? Mm-hmm. How do I typically respond? What's going to be the impact of that? How do I then want to respond so I get the impact that I'm most wanting?
Right.
And the ability to do that is actually what we're actually seeking. It's called like self-control, self-awareness, right. self-knowledge, right. self-mastery.
Right. Right.
If we get that right, it almost doesn't matter what occurs out there because we trust ourselves to handle the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But in lieu of that, I think the easy answer is we try to control things out there.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I tried that. It doesn't work.
Yeah. It's very hard.
Yes. Yeah. Like it's trying very, to control 8 hard. Million people doing what you need them to do so you can feel okay inside.
Yeah. And it's very hard. It's very exhausting. That's why you sleep hard at night or you hardly sleep. Mm-hmm. But it's very difficult to wear that all day. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You say what happens inside always shapes what happens outside. Can you give us a real life example of this action?
Yeah. So I'll give an example that I think most of us can relate to. Okay. We might, we have an issue with someone at work. For example, say I'm working with you on a project and mm-hmm. I say, we need to get this approved by marketing and you have in your mind that it was approved by marketing. You might say, well, I don't understand. I thought it was approved. Why isn't she saying this? But you might not say anything to me.
Right.
that I might go down this whole path of getting, figuring out. Then I find out it was approved. Then I said, why didn't you say anything? I have this like conflict with you or sort of frustration with you. Mm-hmm. I'll carry that home. It'll frustrate me. I'll walk in the door. I'm running something that I'm concerned with. And then I bring that energy to my family. Mm-hmm. Then I'm kind of short with my spouse, sort of, you know, metaphorically kick the dog because the pain has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Now mm-hmm. I've created that family system at home. Then maybe I don't sleep well. I've got a, you know, sore neck in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm still bothered by the, you know, the interaction that we had, and I didn't actually have the real conversation I wanted to with you. I mm-hmm. see you again. Now I'm working with a handful of other people and I'm kind of in a bad mood.
Right.
But that bad mood has nothing really to do with the other people that I'm working with because they don't know what everything that's just occurred. And I think all of us, I mean, we are all handling so many things professionally and personally.
Right.
And all of that is informing how we show up, what we do, what we see as possibilities for us.
Right.
But we're running this narrative. Mm-hmm. And so it's very rare that you and I are ever really present in the same moment.
Right.
And I have no idea of everything that's come before the moment that I meet you, from your childhood all the way to the last call that you had, the last business call. All I know is what I'm getting right now. And of course, none of us are that good at segmenting. Mm-hmm. Like I'm walking through the door to my family. Mm-hmm. And what energy do I want to bring them? We kind of bring the history of everything and we drag it with us.
Yep.
And so we're short with people. We're rude with people. We're not present with family members because we're running everything that we're carrying in our mind. Right. So whatever, you know, whatever we're carrying in our mind is impacting the next moment we have.
Right.
Guaranteed. The only question is how.
Right. I can't tell you. That's really good. That's really good stuff. That's really, you know, I remember when I used to work in healthcare services rather, and I was supervising someone, I get frustrated. And I used to always make sure that, you know, I said, okay, kids, when I get home, give me 30 minutes. You know, I would take off all my clothes. I go and they gave me 30 minutes. They would give me 30 minutes. And then I would, you know, kind of meditate and get that off of me because I knew that I was hard day, you know, and if I had a hard day, they'll say, you had a hard day. You know, and I try my best to kind of get rid of it. Some of us, you know, go straight to from one situation to the next, not realizing that that energy is on you from the day, you know, and we try to remove it. And that we should, like you're saying, we should take that time to kind of like either have that conversation, which helps a lot, or, you know, debrief if you can't, you know. Do you recommend debriefing?
Well, your example, I think, is exceptional because the self-awareness it takes to ask for what you want and need and then to manage yourself well. Like if you can have half an hour when you come home because you need that, and then you will be great for your family. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. If you can't afford a half an hour break throughout many of the different pieces of our life, which most of us can't, then it's just the simple awareness and saying, as you did, is, you know, I've had a really, I just came from a really tough meeting. Mm-hmm. I'm rather frustrated, but I know you and I need to talk about X. And so let me try to get there. But I'm just, I noticed that I'm slightly off and distracted, but I'll be okay. Let's dive in.
Right.
That alone can do so much, and it takes ownership, and it doesn't have us show up short and, you know, with other people because if we don't name it, other people go, I did something.
Right. Yeah.
And, or that person's a jerk, and they start making up a story that's not very useful. So what do? We communicate and say, I'm not at my best, but I'm here. And let's dive in and do what we can do together. So it's just some level of ownership and it names. And I think something like that is so easy and so useful. And then it doesn't, then we don't make work for ourselves. Cause I know, you know, you and I can talk about this, but it doesn't mean I can live it, you know, perfectly. Right. I'm a human being. Mm-hmm. And so I'll notice I'm busy. I'm short with my husband. Then he gets his back up and it's like, oh man, I just made a whole bunch of work for myself. I could, you know, I could have, if someone would just, you know, coach me on my own stuff, I could have just taken a second to say, hey, babe, I'm really busy right now. Yeah. I don't want to sound snappy, but I need to get back to this. I'll talk to you in half an hour.
Yeah.
That would have prevented a whole argument for the whole, you know, for the evening. So it's like,
you know, extra work. You said that's good.
Yeah. It's all of our work is, you know, what matters is who we're being while we are with other people. Mm-hmm. And it really does matter. And when we get it right, things go so much better and we build relationship equity and we enjoy our lives more and we feel supported more and more connected. And when we don't, well, we just make a bunch of work for ourselves and, and limit ourselves because we shoot ourselves in the foot.
Right. Why is emotional intelligence so critical for leaders?
Because we are leading human beings.
Hmm.
So, you know, if we were robots, which we might soon be with everything with AI, you know, A would go to B would go to C would go to D, and that'd be easy. You throw in this thing called a human being, and you and I and all your listeners know.
Yeah.
If a doctor comes in and says, you have cancer, here is the, you know, here's the treatment plan. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Off you go.
Right.
It leaves us feeling lost and lonely. If someone says, you have cancer, I'm going to be here with you.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole treatment plan for you and we are going to hand walk you through this. I know this is shocking news. But I am not going to let you walk through this alone.
Right.
We've taken hundreds of people through this successfully, and we believe we can with you too.
Yeah.
You wouldn't that change absolutely everything?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Right? It took the same amount of time. And I think Malcolm Gladwell in his book, I think it was Blink, said, you know, why do some doctors get sued and others don't?
Mm-hmm.
It was bedside manner.
Right.
It's emotional intelligence. Did you say it with kindness and love and like you actually cared about another human being? If you did, people won't sue you as much.
Mm-hmm.
We get really upset human beings when other people are very disrespectful and careless with us. And so, you know, in a very busy world where we're all running around trying to work harder than ever, the smallest kindness and show demonstration of respect creates relationships and relationship equity that, you know, 10 years of good, easy times can't do. And it's it doesn't take more time. It just takes a little bit more intention to manage myself and show up in a way that's going to be aware that there's another human being on the other end of it. And again, I'm not saying I can do this perfectly because I can be a real ass. When I'm stressed out.
Right. All of us can. I think all of us can.
I
think we got it down to a science.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. What's one thing people can do today to begin their journey of inner life leadership?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked this question. I have taught this to probably over 12 million people in the last several years alone. And so it is, it always delivers results. Here it is. Every single morning for at least the next month, set aside 5 minutes. Everyone can afford 5 minutes. If it's useful, set an alarm on your phone or a clock. In that 5 minutes, the first thing you're going to do is take out a piece of paper and pen, and you're going to write down an intention of who do you want to be today?
Okay.
While you handle a million and things, you know, 10 million things required of you, who do you want to be? So I'll often say, I want to be present with people. I want to be encouraging, inspiring. I want to be fun to be with. I mean, everyone's just dealing with so much. I want to make other people's, you know, the time they spend with me, perhaps the best part of their day.
Gotcha.
So you set an intention. Then for the remainder of the 5 minutes, I want you to write down as many good, exciting, inspiring thoughts that you could choose to think about the day ahead if you only wanted to. So for myself, I might think of, you know, how grateful I am to have the family I have, how healthy I feel right now. And I know that won't always be the case. And that's not a given.
Mm-hmm.
I will think of how lucky I am to be living in a place where my physical safety not something I think of, and that's a luxury.
Yeah.
It's a luxury that a lot of people throughout history line things up so that that could be true, that I could live this life. I have clean drinking water available to me. I have a bed to sleep in. I have people who love me. I have people who I love. I get the opportunity to do great work. I mean, there's so many things we could choose to be grateful for and or excited about what's ahead for us today. So you're going to write down those things. Mm-hmm. And that's all. 5 minutes. Intention of who do I want to be mm-hmm. as I interact with people? And what's all the good, exciting, inspiring thoughts that I could think about today if I only wanted to? Then at least once during the day, take out that piece of paper and read it again to ground yourself. That's mm-hmm. all I want you to do, but I want you to do it at least for a month, as much as you can, and see what you notice by doing that. You are starting to feed your mind and strengthen neural connections that will have you experience more presence and more joy and more gratitude. And that attracts all good things.
Oh, that's good. It's a great exercise. Mm-hmm. That's a great, great exercise. I like that. Audience, you better remember that. Okay. So, you know, last but not least, tell us what you have on the horizon that's coming, and maybe you want to invite us to something. Tell us about that.
Sure. So I've just finished a book. It's called nice. This Could Be Everything for Anyone Who Wants to Make Their Tomorrow Better Than Today. Okay. It took me 3 years to write. Painstakingly 3 years. I don't know that I'll ever write another book. It's exhausting. I'm amazed that some people write 20 books in their life. But it's based on 24 years experience of doing the work that I've done with very successful men and women around the planet. Mm-hmm. And it is a roadmap that I've taken almost every client through. And so now it exists in a very easy to read book that is about the application of these ideas, so that tomorrow can be better than today for you. So so they can simply go to SuzanneBureau.com/book and sign up to hear about when it's released. It should be available in about a month's time from this recording.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, that was an incredible conversation, and we had it with the amazing Susan Bureau. Thank you for showing us that true leadership starts from within and giving us the tools to confront our deepest fears. To learn more about Suzanne's work and discover her inner life leadership approach, you can find her at Suzanne Bureau, SuzanneBiro.com. If this episode resonates with you, don't keep it to yourself. Spread the word. Share it with someone who needs to hear this. And remember to like, subscribe, and leave a comment to let us know your biggest takeaway. The journey is more purposeful if life begins when you confront instead of holding back. This is Edna White saying goodbye for now. Bye now.
For 25 years, Brightview Senior Living Associates have been committed to creating a vibrant culture and delivering exceptional services, making Brightview a great place to work and live. If you're looking for a rewarding opportunity to serve your local community and grow, we want you to join our team. Brightview Senior Living is growing and actively seeking vibrant associates to join our community teams, including directors, healthcare, activities, hospitality, and dining. Apply today at careers.brightviewseniorliving.com. Equal employment opportunities. Text BVJobs to 97211 to apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.